Oh, we're here. We're here. Just get him going. Get him going with a soothing song. Welcome back to That's Movies, Brother. We're here to make another episode for you today. Bring the energy.
If I don't talk for a long time, you get weird, dude.
Just gotta bring the energy, bro.
You get fucking weird.
I'm actually really excited to talk about this movie, I'm not gonna lie.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
We're talking Bloodshot today, boys.
Oh, the Vin Diesel movie that probably... I mean, it got widespread release,
but
it
Diesel
did
movie
super
that probably,
shit.
Cool.
Well, it made like $35 million at the box office, so like, I don't think anybody saw it, but it was kind of half because it came out like in, what, March?
Yeah, I feel like if they want to make a sequel to this movie, it's going to be hard for them to gauge, should we? Should we not? Because it didn't really make a lot of money, but like, why?
They should not make a sequel to this
movie. Okay, we'll get into it. But anyways, before we're getting a little too quick on this movie talk.
Yep.
Brother.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what, dude?
What?
I don't know. I wrote down some things that I wanted to talk about, and I can't find it. Found it.
Nice.
All right. So, I wanted to address something that's been happening to me recently.
Last couple of nights. Okay.
I've been dreaming about some really weird dreams, and some of them are movie related.
All right. I'm curious.
I had a dream the other night that I was basically stuck in the same premise of, can you guess it?
Bloodshot?
Ready or Not.
Ready or Not. Oh, weird. Okay.
Which we haven't done our episode on Ready or Not yet. Hopefully we will at some point here soon. But it's, yeah, like a horror movie,
mm-hmm.
but it really ends up being like a comedy horror. Anyways.
Yeah, sure, most people are familiar.
About this girl who marries into a family, and then they have to play a game for her to be initiated into the family officially.
Mm.
And the game that they get is hide and seek, but it's like killer hide and seek. So she has to hide. They have to find her. If they find her, they kill her. She's got to survive till sunrise.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, blood sacrifice to Satan, basically. You know, your average premise.
You know, just usual Sunday morning stuff. Yep. Wait, I picked a bad day for that. Anyway, so yeah, like a couple days ago, I had a dream where I was basically being hunted down and killed. But it felt like it wasn't just like, you know, like bad people trying to hunt me down, like an action movie.
Mm.
It was like me, but it wasn't only me. It was me and Jessica.
But you were both being hunted down and killed.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
gotcha.
It felt like we were in this premise of Ready or Not. We weren't getting married. It was just like, it started out the most recent or first part that I remember is we were in this like apartment or like hotel room. It was some kind of, we were in a building and we were in a room and there was a bed in the room. So it was like a hotel or apartment. I don't remember. And then I just remember like people trying to come in and we were like running away from them. And then I don't remember if we had to jump out the window. Some crazy stuff happened, bro. And then we're like running through the streets and trying to like blend in with regular people. This was like out in public. And these people are like trying to blend in and sneak up on us and like kill us. And then we went to some weird auditorium where there was some kind of show going on. About, I have no idea what it was, but then I lost Jessica and I was like, where'd she go? Oh no, this is bad. And so I'm like running around the streets like a maniac. Meanwhile, there's these people in like weird hats and like coats, like trying to like blend in, but super bad because it's a dream, like super obvious kind of, you know? And I'm like running around and then next thing I know, I turn around, there's like five of them surrounding me. And then I woke up.
You heard the old tale of dreams and D&D stories.
What? No.
Dreams and D&D stories.
No.
Yeah. When you tell them to other people, they don't make any fucking sense.
No, of course. I wasn't trying to tell you because it made sense. trying to personalize my dream here for you.
It's so hard, like, when you describe dreams to other people, just because the nature of dreams is that they're just so sporadic and weird and
That's why you gotta contextualize them yourself.
Farther and farther away. It's just they end up just being nothing, like meaningless nothingness.
Basically, I was in a building being chased, and it took to the streets, bro. And then we went to go see a show while being chased. One of us disappeared, and I was trying to find, and I was like, what's going on? And then I'm like, oh my gosh, you're all here. I'm going to die. The end.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's why...
Makes sense, bro.
Like, dream movies, other than, like, Inception, because it's, like, a bit of an outlier, because they, like, craft them themselves. But, like, generally, movies about dreams or involving dreams, they're always kind of weird to me, because they don't usually hold up all that well, because dreams are nonsense most of the time, and they're not... You know what I mean?
So... No, because people have dream sequences in movies, which then lead, like, you can have dreams about things you're thinking about. So if someone's having a dream because they're having a nightmare about something in the past, makes sense. They don't not make sense.
Dreams and movies are always too nice and too real. Like, they're always like, oh, okay, like, you can understand what's going on. They never just, like, randomly pop up in places and, like, as you do in real dreams.
You want it to happen where it's, like, you want it to basically happen, like, those weird sequences and, like, movies, like, especially like comedy movies, even comedy cartoons, when people like take a bite of a mushroom and all this weird stuff's happening around them, and they go from place to place,
right?
Basically, that
kind of, but like, it's more of like, because all my dreams have always had all these weird things happening where, you know, like, people don't talk just because I don't know what's wrong with my like dream part of my brain, but it's like, how do people talk again? I don't know, don't put that part in there because I just can't remember, or you know, we just parts are always missing, and dreams are in movies are always too, they're too well put together. They make sense.
Let's make
real
a,
dreams.
Let's
don't
make a
make
movie
sense.
About dreams. It's called Dreams,
and it's going to be really like
but that way. Like, it's going to be one of those movies that when you watch, you go, "Yo, this was garbage. It makes no sense. It's all over the place." And you go, "But guess what?
That's the point.
It's a dream, dude.
All critiques are invalid because that was the point.
Whatever you want."
Oh man!
And like, another thing you can never do in dreams. You can never run, can never punch anybody either. Have you ever had that? You've had the running, come on, right? Like, where you're trying to run away or run from something, but you can't run?
I don't... See,
that's
I'm
a very
not a big
common
dreamer
one.
In general, but normally I don't... Yeah, I can't say that I remember myself running too much or really punching. Usually, like, there's not, like, violence going on in my dreams.
Well, it's not that there's
and
not
there is,
violence.
It's happening to me. It's
well,
not
exactly,
me doing
but you can never
else.
Fight back, even if you try. That's a very common thing.
Well, what do you mean try? Like, I
have you never... Okay, so I've
dreams gotten... to me are just weird. They're memories. It's like, you can't try to do something in a memory. It's just already happened, and you're just remembering it.
It's not true, dude. Lucid dreaming.
Okay, I've never been anywhere close to being able to do that.
I used to be able to like, oh, I'm gonna fly now, take off like Superman.
That's
bro.
Crazy.
But that was it. For some reason, it was only that, and I could also tell. I used to not be able to completely control my dreams, but I used to be able to tell myself if it's like a bad dream, be like, this is a dream. I'm waking up now, and I wake myself up.
Well,
in the dream.
Well, a big part of that is that
which proves Inception wrong. You don't have to have a kick. You can just go no.
Well, you know, like, dreams are only on average like 2 to 3 seconds long, right?
Yeah.
So that's probably part of it is like, you know, maintaining the state is probably incredibly difficult because you got to like elongate, I guess, the duration.
Brain just works
super quick. If you're conscious of it, if you're in the dream and you're conscious that you're there, maintaining the dream state's got to be really tough.
Well, I want to hear from other people because it's a very normal thing that you can't do certain things. Running's one and throwing a punch is another. Like, I've been in dreams where like you get into like an altercation or something's happened to you and you try to like fight back and it's just like you try to punch, you just like. It's a wet noodle on someone's face.
Ah, no.
It's always how it is.
Never.
And then one dream, a couple months ago, relatively recent, within the past year, I threw a punch and it decked somebody. And I remember that dream vividly because I was like, yo, I did the impossible. It was a big achievement in my life.
It's interesting. I always thought it was weird. People seem to dream much more vividly than I do because mine are just garbage, honestly. Most the vast majority of the time, like 99% of the time, I wake up, I didn't have a dream.
Yeah,
no memory of anything happened.
And usually, like, I'll have them every once in a while. Yeah. But this past week, bro, I've been having multiple, like, that I remember.
Weird.
Another thing that happens a lot in dreams that I've never had happen to me, but one of the common things, like, if you look up things like that happen in dreams, your teeth falling out. You heard of that?
Oh, God.
I've heard of that from many people, and that it means something. And like, I've heard so many people say, yeah, it's super common. I've never had that ever happen to me ever in a dream.
You know, maybe this is going to make me sound like a bit of like an uneducated dumbass. But
it means they mean nothing.
I'm on the camp, I think, that dreams are mostly meaningless.
See, the only reason I can't fully get on board with that is because the same people, like everybody has certain things that happen to them at the same time.
I think people's experiences are largely similar. And so, you know,
well,
I mean,
think
like,
it means something loosely. Like, for example, if you're trying to,
you can find some kid in Bangladesh who has a completely, we have completely different experiences and culture, and he's having dreams about teeth falling out, then sure, maybe I'll join the camp.
But exactly. If you're having similar experiences, then it means something. It's relating to something. I think that if, like, you can't throw a punch, it probably means, like, that you're not even in, I don't mean this in a deep way, like, diving into a specific situation you're in, but just in general, your brain feels like you can't, I don't know, lack of, this is a bad example, lack of control, or like you can't stand up, I don't know, like
yeah,
something weird.
Okay, so fair enough, because like I'll say that like if you're having dreams about your teeth falling out or you're dying, you may be worried about something, but you can't say, oh, your teeth are, you have a dream about your teeth falling out, therefore you're afraid to go to the dentist. I don't know. I don't
right.
think it's that.
But not specific.
No, I think it's just like really broad, like, yeah, you may be a bit anxious, you know?
I gotta wrap up a couple of these dreams, though.
Okay.
A couple nights ago, after the being chased down and hunted, I had a dream about where I hate snakes,
yep.
where they were giant snakes just coming out of like the street and like random buildings. I'm like in the middle
cool.
of the street, like the middle yep. of the road. And there's like, but all coming from like right in front of me, and they're coming out of different things. Mm-hmm. And there was like, not very many, like maybe three or four, but they were big boys. I mean, like bigger than a normal steak. Like as big and like your body thickness.
Yeah. Specifically my body thickness?
You are thick, snaky boy.
Thick, snaky boy. All right.
So, and I turn around, I'm trying to like run away. Can't run. I'm just like,
no. That's so odd.
So then this dream was set up almost like a movie, because then the next thing I know, I'm sitting in a cafe with people I don't know who they are. Two people, one guy, mm-hmm. one girl. Don't know. But I'm telling them about my experience being chased by a snake. And it almost felt like that's happening, and I'm getting random flashbacks of that event. Just like a movie, you know, they're sitting down with their friends talking about an event, and then it flashbacks and like shows it.
Yep.
That's basically what was happening. So I'm telling about these giant snakes. I'm like, yo, it was wild, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, we hear some noise from outside the cafe. We look to the front, and the whole front is just like windows, glass mm-hmm. windows. And then we see a giant hydra with snake heads just like going down the street, like devouring things. And I was like, oh, it was a part of a hydra. That makes sense. And then I was good, because I figured out why there were giant snakes chasing me. And the idea that it was a giant snake-headed hydra calmed me down. And I said, all
hydra,
right, that makes sense.
Hydra, so for those who aren't super into mythological creatures, is a basically just a three-headed dragon, right?
Yeah, something yeah, like that. Yeah. I think it's more than three, but yeah.
What? I guess maybe.
I don't know. Maybe
have,
not. Maybe I'm
tradition,
wrong.
I think it's always shown to have three, yeah. but I guess maybe it can have like a bunch. I don't know.
But this one was snake-headed.
Snake-headed. Wow. Yeah.
And the fact that I knew that it was a hydra just fixed all my issues. And we're like, oh, we're good. Continue eating our croissants.
See, that's the weird thing about hearing about dreams, is that it just, like, maybe this is my cynical brain going off, but I'm trying to think to myself, I'm like, none of this matters. Like, if it's like a movie or a story or something like that, I can go, it's like almost like a recommendation. I can go see it or like enjoy it myself. Or if it's something that happened to you in real life, I can go, holy shit, some crazy shit happened to you in real life. But if it's like a dream, it's just like, okay.
But it's hilarious.
Isn't that weird?
It's hilarious. Like,
I don't know. I just,
you're not getting anything out of this.
Hearing about other people's dreams is just fucking weird. It's just, there's nothing to grasp onto for it. You know what I mean?
I guess.
I don't know. There's something just immediately so detached about it. It's just like this, it's almost like if you were just daydreaming, right? Like, and you just thought of something and then you told me about it. It's like, what am I supposed to do with that? You know what I mean? No, I'm not trying to like shit on you and shut you down. I know it really seems like that. It's just something I've been thinking about while you've been saying this. It's just like dreams are just such this abstract concept that when you just hear about them in real life, you just go, yeah, okay, sounds like a dream. I don't know. There's just nothing really to react to.
You're doing
about.
Really bad at this whole entertainment purpose part of the show.
I don't know.
Really
I feel
bad
like,
today.
I feel like that's how people react when they hear about dreams. They just go, oh, yeah, so that's a dream. They're just not like, I know it sounds like I'm shitting all over you, but they're just not interesting.
Well, I have another one, but we're not going to go to that one. Is one I had last night, but we're going to move on because apparently he doesn't care. So if you guys want to hear about it, I'll tell you at a later date.
You've never heard the old adage about hearing about other people's dreams in D&D stories is not interesting. You never heard that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sort of.
Right? So you get where I'm coming from with it, right?
I mean, we talk about absurd things on this show, and it was absurd. So I felt like you'd be a good person to talk to about it, but I guess I'm wrong. So let's move on. What do you got for me today, buddy?
I had a weird kind of experience happen to me in real life. You remember when we were like... we were camping that one time forever ago at the
that
bluff.
That does not narrow down.
At the bluff. There you go. Yeah. It was, and obviously we were afraid of mountain lions at that one point. I don't remember what happened, if we heard what her noise we heard.
It was cougars, okay?
Cougars and mountain lions are the same thing.
No.
Yes, they are.
It's a cougar. Why would they have different names?
Just locale. They're like colloquialisms or whatever.
Locale?
Yeah, like where you see them. Like people like in the north might call them a mountain lion, opposed to people who see them other places will call them a cougar.
I've never heard that term used before in my life.
Really?
Yep.
It just means basically like location.
Local. Yeah. I think you pronounced it wrong.
No, oh, my God. All right, but you remember that. I don't remember if we heard a mountain lion roar. I don't know why we thought that specifically. I can't remember, but... I'm like 99% sure I saw one like 3 days ago.
Doing what?
I was driving.
So I knew you went like kayaking yesterday.
Yeah, not then. Yeah.
So why 3 days ago? That you should have been in civilization at this
point.
Yeah,
I was. I was literally like, I was driving on old 85, but which is just and it was late at night, but I was just driving down and it's just the road with no houses on either side. And, you know, it's just like for good 10 miles, I want to say, it's basically nothing from between the town I live in and the town I was. And it was actually a weird night because it was like storm was raging on. Like I could see over like lightning all over the place. It was really like weird. There was a woman in the off the street and she was standing perfectly still, not doing anything.
Sounds
just
like a
standing.
Horror movie.
I know. It was really, I was like, what the fuck? And then so like once I saw the woman in like all the weird, like, and it was dark and stuff like that, I started to get like a little unnerved anyway. And then I saw a deer on the side of the road, and I was like, oh, and like, you know, when you're going like 70 and you see a deer, you're like, oh shit, and like you're scanning on either side of the road like constantly for deer, right?
Yep.
And so I was doing that, and then on either side of the road there was that like long grass, you know, that just grows because they don't mow it or whatever, and something just like emerges, and it has those like, I was like, at first I was like, oh shit, another deer, but it had those like really big muscular shoulders, and it was like standing up like that, and I was like, dog, way too big for a dog. I swear it had to have been a mountain lion, and which would have been incredibly rare in the state of Georgia, but not impossible. I'm saying it couldn't have been a deer or a dog, and if it was, it was the biggest fucking dog I've ever seen.
You know what this sounds like?
What?
A dream.
Wow. Okay.
I don't have to talk about it.
I get it.
It's just so
the
out of the
is,
blue.
This happened in real life. Therefore, there is some connection to it. You can grasp onto it.
Can I? I can't. I don't know. I've never had this experience before. But guess what? I'm gonna entertain you. Okay. You talked about this thing, yep, like it was a person coming up out of the grass. Big shoulders, like,
yes,
muscular,
but like, you know,
dude.
What I mean? Like they're like from laying down on all fours, like it was sneaking up and then like popping up because it heard my car or something like that coming up. You know what I mean? Like getting up and like looking around. But I remember distinctly seeing the, like, because I was looking at its general, you know, in my headlights, I couldn't see the whole thing or anything, but I remember distinctly that's not a deer because it's got like big ass shoulders. You know, deer have like those little shitty legs.
Okay.
So, I saw a cougar mountain lion.
I feel like you didn't, though. Maybe it was a dude dressed in a puma costume.
Wow. Are we
big
in a world,
buff dude.
Are we in a world where that's more likely?
Yeah, the way you describe it,
actually,
yeah.
Actually seeing just a regular animal.
I feel like a lot of animals, just like, if they're behind tall grass, they're not going to be like, ooh, a car? What's this noise?
I don't know. You just hear some big loud thing roaring up on you. You know what I mean? Like... usually big predator animals are pretty cowardly. So, you know, because if they get hurt, then they can't hunt and they just die. So, you know, they're used to things not being able to hurt them. So if they hear some big noise, they're going to be like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean?
Oh, let me look at it.
Yeah, or let me, like, figure out if I need to move kind of a thing. I don't know. He could have immediately darted off as soon as I passed him.
We
I was
know
going
about
fast.
Animals.
I'm just saying, I looked it up, and it's not impossible for me to have seen a mountain lion.
I feel like you researched this for like 2 days after.
I was trying to find like sightings of mountain lion, where they would be. Would it be North Georgia or South Georgia? Because apparently there's like a North Florida lion that's like known for around the area that's like a mountain lion or a cougar or whatever, but it's like weird. I don't know, dude. I went down the rabbit hole with this.
Sounds like it. Well, that's enough interestingness for today. We need to get into the story at hand.
Yep.
The story of the bloodshot.
The story of the bloodshot. Kind of wanted to watch this movie, even though it came out a while ago, just kind of, we kind of watched it for a laugh, right? We knew this was going to be, well, we thought going into it was
going
to be bad.
So the idea going into this was that I thought this was going to be another kind of dumb, kind of out there action movie that was
Vin
just
Diesel
gonna be
does, like Last Witch Hunter. He like, you know, he does he, like Vin
I can't
Diesel's
speak
almost
on that. I haven't seen that movie, but yeah.
Oh,
sure.
I thought I saw that with somebody else. Sorry. He does a bunch of like crappy action movies where he's the main badass guy, talks in the low gravelly Vin Diesel
voice.
That's
just his voice, but yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But I feel like if you met Vin Diesel in real life, he would have a low voice, but he wouldn't be as low as he does like in his badass scenes, quote unquote.
Right.
You know what I mean? Synopsis. This is based on a comic book, apparently.
It is based on a comic book. Yeah.
Not a big Marvel or DC one. Valiant Comics. I don't know. That's pretty like lesser known.
Yeah, they're more recent. Yeah. I think they're made after the 2000s, like the actual line of comics.
Yeah, so pretty new. It's just about Vin Diesel is like a soldier who dies, and he gets remade in this science lab where he's basically all nanobots now.
Yeah,
and he can regenerate.
Basically,
and then
there's a company that enhances people, and he's the first person that they ever brought back from the dead and enhanced, like, his entire body. Like, you know, a lot of people are getting like prosthetics and other enhanced abilities, and they're all different. And then they basically are used to almost like
assassinate,
they're almost, I guess,
people?
They're kind of like military-esque Black Ops type team.
Kind
and
of
the
thing.
Idea is that they're, yeah, used in that way.
And
that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Because there's obviously, in this movie, there's a lot that happens, but that's really all you can talk about without spoiling it.
I feel like, I don't remember because I never watched trailer, but I have a feeling that if you watch trailer for this movie, you know, like, the big kind of part of the movie already. Yeah. But I don't know that for sure. So I feel like it was kind of known going into it. But I guess we'll just go straight into spoilers here.
Hot takes,
dude. Yeah.
Which sounds like from your hot take, it's not going to be a hot take. It sounds like you pretty much got what you expected out of this movie.
Not necessarily.
I really liked it.
Interesting.
I'm going to say right now, I really liked it.
Interesting.
I did not think I was going to at all. And even, I started watching, I was like, all right, here we go. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, I like this movie.
Okay, so
I enjoyed it.
This movie is not terrible. I thought it was going to be like so bad, I was laughing at it the whole time. But it's also not good enough for me to be fun. It's unfortunately in this terrible gray area for movies where it's eh. And I hate that. That's like the worst part. We've talked about that before.
Right.
That's the worst place a movie can be. Yeah, from here, that's kind of our general, that's our take. So watch it if you want to. Eh. Who cares? Spoilers from here on out. The big twist thing of the I guess the major concept of this movie is that his memory is kind of implanted in him. It's not really true.
Well, they wiped.
Although
we don't know what his
true?
We don't know his complete actual past. They wiped his real memory. Then they implanted a fake memory in him. They create a simulation.
We don't even know if he died.
They said that he did. They did say that he did. I was like, did he even actually die?
But
he did.
Did they ever say that he died when they weren't lying to him?
Yes. Yeah, when they were in the room after we found out that he was being manipulated and all, they did mention it once. He mentioned it once.
I guess so.
So basically, yeah, they implanted fake memories in him And it's always basically the same. They create a simulation that they run him through. That's basically a dream almost, but it's for him, it's real. Like that's his past. Those are his memories, a simulation that he's going through over and over. And it's basically the same thing. It's like he goes out on this mission, kills some people, and then comes back home to his quote wife. And then his wife and him get captured. And the person that's capturing them is different every time. And then that person that's capturing them kills his wife and kills him. And then he wakes up and to these people that say, we revived you, we've enhanced you. He forgot his memory, but then they slowly allow him to remember it and remember the person that killed his wife, which again is different every time. And then he goes out and seeks revenge, killing that person. So they basically implant somebody for him to kill every time. And the idea of that is revenge is like the most powerful emotion to not care about anything else and just go out there and be a weapon for people.
You know what I realized? This movie is a Michael Bay film with a cool concept. Because I like that whole concept. I like there is a really cool movie to be made there. But the way this one's like shot, where it's like hot ladies, you know, the military in an orange glow. All right, guys, hoorah. Like all that shit's so Michael Bay, so Transformers to me.
So
You know what I mean?
There was the one girl, obviously, that was like you were saying, like hot ladies.
Yeah, they were trying to give that vibe off with her. Yeah.
But they didn't. Okay, so there was the one scene when she goes in to destroy all the servers and stuff. That was definitely over the top. So I'm not saying there were no over the top moments, but there were. I could count like a couple, but besides that, everything else worked for me.
Well,
so we're going to get there. So obviously it was like slow-mo, her walking with all the smoke. I was like, was so this one's stupid. Definitely over the top. But everything else felt like she was at least, like they didn't, I don't know. I feel like they didn't go too overboard with the like, oh, like trying to have like, oh, like this is the lady that everyone's supposed to think is you know, hot stuff and all this stuff.
I mean, she's always wearing some kind of crop tube top sports athletic thing that's really making everything pop. Come on, like they're I'm not
I am around athletic people a lot, and that is what they wear. So I'm used to that, and they're not trying to do that. And if she was like, "Hey, how are you doing?"
They're in a science lab, and she's like the. I mean, she's also on the Black Ops team, but she's also kind of like his assistant because she's always around for stuff. And she's very reminded me the entire time of Megan Fox in Transformers. The whole, like, she's just around. She wears her emotions very openly on her sleeves.
I very much disagree. Because, like, they at least had a scene with this girl and she, like, actually did important stuff. Like, she took down the people for...
I could probably find a... moment in all the Transformers movies where she beats a Transformer or some bullshit. Doesn't make it different that
they clearly... Did you not see the fight scene that like they choreographed with her to make her actually be like, okay, cool, she's trained, she knows what she's doing.
No, it's fine. That aspect doesn't stop her from being the Megan Fox in Transformers of this movie. I'm saying that she's there, she's kind of there for... she's in like...
I just heavily disagree. I feel like Megan Fox of the Transformers didn't really do much, whereas this girl actually did much... Or did stuff, not only physically, but also with the main character to be like, whether you think her motives were completely justified or whatever to help the main character, she actually did stuff that was helpful in the story instead of just being dragged along.
I guess my point is that she was hot girl that in the movie, I think mostly because hot, not because of particular acting ability. And which, you know, it's fine. It's the movie. Who cares? And she's there and she's with the main protagonist because she kind of feels bad for him. That's basically Transformers. That's basically Megan Fox Transformers. I mean, it's boiled down. Sure.
No.
What?
You're allowed to have... somebody, whether it's a female or a male, sure, this is a female, help the main character because what is happening to the main character isn't okay. So the other person is being humanized to feel bad for them and then help them. That doesn't make them somebody like Megan from Transformers who, and again, I haven't seen Transformers in a long time, but from what I remember is she was always just kind of getting in trouble with Shia LaBeouf, wasn't really doing anything, and running around away from robots. this girl actually had a like what she did in the plot of this movie made a difference.
Well, you could still say the same thing about Megan Fox, because in the Transformers movie, she's always like rallying Shia LaBeouf, like, get up, you can do this.
Right, but
like,
it was more than that. Like, she didn't just go, come on, man, you can do this. Like, she went out and did stuff herself. I think there's a very big difference.
My point is I'm not trying to point out the uselessness versus, or anything of either character. My point is that it feels like hot girl cast a movie because of hot girl. That's my point. You know what I mean? It doesn't.
No, I don't get your point, because you're saying you're not trying to point out that she's useless, but you're trying to point out that she's only in it because she was supposed to be the hot girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you're pointing out that she's useless, because if it was more than that, she's a hot girl, then she actually did stuff.
They wrote in an excuse.
Then she did stuff.
They wrote in an excuse for her to be there, but main reason it feels pretty
transparent. I disagree. That's what I'm saying.
Fair enough.
You're saying that, but I don't understand. I mean, we don't have to drag it on for forever. I'm just saying, I don't understand that you're saying you're not trying to point out her uselessness, but saying that she was just hired because she's supposed to be the hot girl proves that she's useless, because you're saying she is just the hot girl.
No, you can still write an excuse for them to be there.
So then you don't want people that people are trying to make seem attractive to be in movies? I don't understand.
No, okay.
No, for real, I don't get it.
So you don't think that there should ever be a point like where it just feels kind of ridiculous that like you just, I don't know.
Like I said, the example where she was going and destroying all the servers, lighting them up and like blowing them up, lighting them on fire, that scene felt like that. I'm not saying that there weren't moments of that, but like, I think it's okay to have a character.
I'm not saying it's bad to have an attractive woman or something like that.
That's what I'm saying. So Black Widow is very much, she, especially when she first came up in Iron Man 2, it was like she was the attractive, like I can kick butt kind of person.
Mm.
They did not do her as well as Black Widow, but I got similar vibes, enough to where it just didn't feel like she was throwaway. For me, again, she wasn't perfect, but it worked for me.
Fair enough. She felt largely... this movie does a lot of the everyone acts exactly how they feel. Like, she from the get-go is, like, uncomfortable with the situation. Like, man, we're doing this guy wrong. Just like the other guy with the bionic legs is like, instantly, I'm the biggest asshole in the world for... I have no idea why. I have no idea why that guy sucks so much. Like, why does he hate Vin Diesel? Who knows? He just does. And just like the other guy is like, oh, I'm in the middle. I'm conflicted. That's my emotion for this movie. Like, I'm gonna do this the whole thing. I'm just conflicted. Like, I'm kind of on the asshole side, but also he is a guy, so man, moral like, it's just very obvious. And talk about when we talk about like ridiculous scenes in this movie that are like weird and over the top. Like, I remember in the beginning when Vin Diesel's like getting off the plane from the military, meeting up with his wife and all that stuff. It's very much like they're all bags over shoulders, walking on the runway. It's orange glow. They're all like, all right, boys, hurrah, like, we'll get him again next time.
So as
sup,
this
baby?
Movie,
she's in a convertible, sitting next to the car, picks her up, spins her around. I mean,
the beginning, yes, bad. I 100% agree with you on the beginning, and that's why, like, as it progressed, I ended up liking the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning had its own stuff, which is kind of interesting though, because it's very, like you said, blah, very, what's the word? Formulaic and very
Michael Bay to me. It's just exactly how he shoots his movies.
But it's, again, it's very formulaic and it's very kind of out there and too perfect.
It's a dream
sequence. Yeah. So it kind of alludes to, it almost feels like if you rewatch it, it kind of makes sense. The way they shot it and how it was like going from her face to his, and it felt very like, what is this? But then we're like, okay, it kind of makes sense that it was implanted, this perfect life of, oh, you get the girl, you pick her up, you spin her around. Like,
I get your point. That's not those aren't the only like ridiculous scenes in the movie. Like, I also thought like our KT, which, why is her name KT?
I don't know.
Why? Just even Vin Diesel even says, oh, Katie, and she's like, no, KT, and I'm like,
that's part of what I like about this movie.
Fucking
okay,
stupid man.
I kind of like this movie because people in this movie do things that felt relatable. For example, he was like, where he said Katie, it's like, no, it's Katie. He's like, okay, whatever. And then when I know you said that the guy with the bionic legs was kind of just mean to be mean kind of person.
Yeah, he has this whole like villain menace speech when Vin Diesel's about to get like his memory wiped again. He's like got this whole thing where he's like, you stupid MF-er. You're going down. You're so dumb. Like, why do you believe this? Like, he has a villain monologue speech. Like, why does he hate? We have no backstory as to why he would hate Vin Diesel so much. And that's actually a big problem with this movie. We don't know what anything's going on. We don't know why Guy Pearce wants all of his former comrades dead. We don't even know what that company does, really. They just make shit and then sell it to people, I guess. And like, he's evil because of that. And also, they show like a lot of like Italy or wherever they're supposed to be. I think it's Italy when they show the docks and all that stuff from his dream. And then also like, you know, the conflict and other cities they go to all look normal. But the city with their like high tech buildings that looks like 30, 40 years in the future. And I'm like, wait, where are they there? Because everything else just looks like a normal place. You know what I mean? Like when they're fighting.
It looked pretty New York-esque to me, just that one building.
No, when they were in like that elevator ride, when they were showing everything off, it was like a super city. I was like, what? What is this like super,
I didn't get that vibe, but
futuristic city that they're showing off?
I mean, you could be right. I didn't notice that very clearly, but I don't know. I feel like, so I know you said that the guy seems to be bad and evil just to be evil. The guy with the bionic legs or whatever.
Yeah. Does he have a backstory that I missed?
No, not necessarily, but I don't know why I found this part entertaining, but if you had to like see this guy like over and over and over do the same thing and complain about the same stuff over and over and over, like the way that he was like subtly complaining about him, be like, yo, this guy is like upset. When he's talking about Vin Diesel, the way that he was like watching him go through his process of stealing the car and escaping the place and them going through a script over and over and over that they have to do, you know what I'm talking about? Like how their team has to like script together this, the way that they kind of like initiate him and then have him leave.
Like they don't need to do any of that.
What do you mean?
They already have the ability to implant memories into his brain. Yeah. Right. So why not implant the memory of all the stuff they already do and then just drop him off right on the mission? Have him wake up, quote unquote, right when he's about to go kill a guy, because he won't know. He won't know. You can play with this guy's brain. You could have him starting his like in the car ready to go, and then you can have it start right there. Why act? Why go through all this thing where things can go wrong or people can get found out?
What are you talking about? So like
they can implant memories into his brain.
So just don't make him forget his fake memories. Just
basically,
have him remember
just
them.
Just implant the new ones and have him wake up right as he's driving his car right down the thing. Just have him him become conscious right then.
It's not becoming conscious. He is passed out and become conscious when he wakes up. You can't have him driving and then become conscious.
Well, sure. Have him basically become conscious right behind the wheel. And have him think he just got into the car and did all the stuff. You could do that. Hell, in this world, you can do anything. You have nanites, whatever
the fuck
those
are. I think it's a better story to do it this way because it sets up a lot more, but not just to set up stuff, but because if you had him wake up behind a wheel and be like, what's going on? Then you have to write and figure out how he can figure out where he is, what's going on, and then also at the same time, figure out like if he's at the place of the person he's supposed to kill, know he's there, and then figure out how to get in and do, like, it's so much that
his
you have to try to cram
in. He's basically a computer at this point, right? He can look up shit and do, he can scan the entire thing.
But he doesn't know that, so how is he just going
to
do that?
You don't have to have Vin Diesel know that. In fact, I don't really think you need, at this point, you could just have Vin Diesel, with what they're able to do in the movie, technology-wise, you don't really need to trick a guy. They seem to have control over his body from a remote, so all they need to do is just control him unwillingly. How would he say anything different?
They could shut him down, but they can't make him do stuff.
Would it be that much harder? Would it be that much more of a leap to go one step further and just say, we're just going to make you do shit?
Then it's a completely different movie.
It feels like you're at this point of technology where these nanites can basically do anything. And so these limitations that they have on them just feel kind of odd that they're even there in the first place. It's like, okay, so I can have him completely regenerate. He's super strong, punch through anything, blah, blah. He's a living computer. But I have to make him emotionally feel it. Doesn't that feel weird? Like you've made a bionic robot Superman, but you have to make him feel it emotionally in order for it to work. It's strange, right? That's the vibe I was getting. Whereas, like, if you can implant memories in his head, you can implant the memory that he was just getting into this car, going on this revenge mission. He already knew that wouldn't be hard to do. I mean, is he gonna doubt his own memory? People don't doubt their like that. You know what I mean? Why would he do that?
Well, it doesn't matter about him doubting his own memory if you just are forcing him to do stuff. Then the memory aspect doesn't make sense at all.
Well, sure, get rid of the forcing thing. Just have them go back. We know in the movie he can have fake memories, right? Yep. They can force those. So have him have the memory of going, finding out who killed his wife and himself in his past life, getting all this stuff, getting away to get into his van to go find and kill him, and just have him start right there. And that way you don't have to have any of the acting part. Because think about the massive liability of having, like, all these Black Ops operatives have to suddenly become actors to get him to the place where he actually goes and, you know, kills people. Like that, and especially if you have to do it multiple times, the room for error there is tremendous. I mean, you know, somebody can get found out, something goes wrong. Why play with that if you can create fake worlds in his mind? I mean, they literally, while Vin Diesel was awake, they were showing him in Italy. Like he was there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like they can, the technology you're showing here, you can do whatever you want with this guy's mind. So it feels odd that, especially when you have like KT at various times in the movie and towards the end is expressing like, I want to betray you, Guy Pearce, and help Vin Diesel. How he lets her stay around at any point, like during that, and be a jeopardy to the whole mission, as especially with what Vin Diesel can do if he gets out of their reach. I mean, it's just kind of nuts to me. You know what I mean? It's like he's an evil guy, but he's letting this woman who's clearly not evil continue to be such a vital part of the mission. That's a huge, like, who, like, how are you a smart person and have that happen?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, I think, control things where he knew he had like control over her. He could basically kill her with the flip of a switch.
Sure.
By shutting off her breathing. So he knew that she was kind of the closest person to him, like the one that was, you know, most, she was the most humanized towards him and had the most conversations with him and whatever. And that she can play that part well. Again, I know you don't have to do the whole playing parts if you want to change that, but I'm saying with the route that they took with the story.
Yep.
So he felt that she was a vital part. And again, she's trained, whether you want to, you know, they show that she knows what she's doing.
I'm not against any of that, but she's like, for what Guy Pearce needs done, she's not important. She's only becomes important once she's against Guy Pearce. She doesn't actually, like, what is her value to Guy Pearce other than the acting part, which is easily remedied if you just get rid of that because it's a useless part of the movie anyway.
Well, they did have her go take down somebody, like a whole team of people.
Because she didn't want to do it.
Right. She failed, but she did it. She kidnapped the guy, but she kept him and said,
Right.
Oh, I didn't get him.
But I'm talking about Guy Pearce hires her, that she's on his team. From his perspective, she's the worst, and you should not have her on there. Because,
but this is all new, bro. Like, she didn't start to turn until that part of that movie. So it's like,
well, she was showing signs like she was against it to be like two times, and then she was against it, and then he had to shut off her breathing.
Like, it was that's what I'm saying. In this movie, it was within those like 2 days. She did that one thing, and then she helped him the next day, like really, really helped him. So like, you only have three individuals that you've enhanced so far.
Mm-hmm.
You're losing a third of your team if you just go, all right, well, I guess I'll just kill you. That, to me, that would be a little over the top for the story. For me, I think that if you're showing signs of that, I'm going to say, I'm going to prove to you that you need me. Shut off your breathing. All right, you better listen to me. She actually goes on the mission, and it's like, okay, things are going well. Sure. Was it a little bit of an overlook? Maybe a little bit, but that's kind of the point of some of these parts of this movie, is people make mistakes, and they overlook things, and people take advantage of people in that kind of way. Well, if it had been happening longer, or it had been shown to be happening in the past, like, I understand that. But the fact that it was just happening, and so he tried to assert his dominance over her, and that's the weakness of some of these villains. So, well, it didn't bother
me. Most of these tyrannical leaders try to lead their guys in fear or some other. They have to have a means.
Three people, though. He had three. No, that's
losing
a third of his team.
Of, well, besides that, he had all the little people working behind computers.
Yes, but
and
I'm
his
talking
tech
about
guys
the
also
tactical
have to be,
team.
No, but all those people also have to be afraid of him, because they all know that he's killing off his rival business leaders.
He almost killed her.
Yes.
He shut off her breathing in front of everybody. Not only that, he is showing them, he is forcing them, hey, program this guy to basically go kill those people. That is the fear. That is, I am showing you what's going to happen if you leave me. That is fear to not only her,
but
to everybody that's working
with him. But you can get away with questioning Guy Pearce like three times before he'll even kind of start to try and kill you. I mean, like, in comparison with how usually bad guys lead their bad team, there's no reason to be afraid of Guy Pearce. You know what I mean? He's a pushover throughout the whole movie, basically. He's like weaselly killing off his ex-rival leaders. But no, like, I never was afraid of his character. He's not a menacing guy at all. And if you want to
physically,
use that,
but there's a different way to write people so they're more menacing.
Well, they
try
to make him menacing physically with the bionic arm. He threw the lady and tried to stand up
bit,
to
but I don't think he's supposed to be all muscle. It's like, I have this thing to help me so I'm not completely useless, but I'm smart and can control you all. Like, that was the vibe I got from it.
But it just doesn't, like, compare this to, like, all the other bad guy villains, like mob bosses, are basically people who employ other people to do willingly bad things. They're always like, shit, don't fuck over Tony Lizzuto. Like, he's going to, you know, fucking kill you or whatever.
Literally, everybody that left his company because they didn't believe in what he was doing, he's killing off. I don't know what else that's the premise of the movie. So,
those people left the company, but we don't know why or under what circumstances or whatever's going on.
So, when he was like, you know what's going to happen kind of if you leave me sort of thing, and she's like, what, you're gonna like kill me, whatever, like basically what you're doing to this person and this person, it basically seemed like people were not behind what his intentions were for all these enhancements and all that kind of thing, and that people or they wanted it for themselves, and so sure, they maybe. Left no it's not maybe that's what they said in the movie, like the guy
they
the last
said
guy
they
killed
wanted to take his stuff,
the last guy
him?
That they killed, the guy with the beard,
yeah.
They were like, he said, okay, you wanted this technology for yourself, well now it's coming right for you, when he was trying to kill him. So yes,
sure, it's kind of a throwaway line.
It's
I don't
not
really
though,
because
you can't say, oh, I guess that's what happened. I said they literally said it, and I proved it with that line. It's not a throwaway line. It's
so he just wanted the tech all for himself. That's
it's different
so
things. People are not working with him because they don't believe in what he's doing, or because they don't like his ulterior motives and they want it for themselves, or they want it for themselves because it's a power thing.
But
that guy was a very clear power struggle villain.
You're basically listing all the reasons anyone doesn't do anything. Like, I want it for me, or I don't like what you're doing. Like, that's the reasons anyone would do.
That is, and
but
if you look
no
at a lot of villains,
specifics to there.
A lot, not all, but a lot of villains, that is their motive for a lot of things, is they want power, but it's they're in a position to hold and get that power. So when you put those things together, you get a villain. That's
right,
what this guy has.
But I'm saying you get a vague villain. You don't get anything specific. I just want power. That's the definition of bad villains. Or I'm just evil to be evil. Or I just want villains. Or I just want money. That's not interesting. You know what I mean? Like, that, I don't care about. That's what I'm saying is the problem. Part of the big problem with this movie is that, like, all since there's no backstory, I don't know what this company really is other than they just make augments. Or why this guy is killing all his former. He's killing them, or at least one guy, because he wanted it for himself. Okay, doesn't that seem like something you could kind of solve in a legal issue? Like, no, I invented the company and you left, so they're mine. Like, you have no real stake. What does that even mean? Like, that's what I mean. Like, in a vague way, it's like, oh, he wanted them for himself. Okay, but in a specific way, it's like, well, what does that mean? Was he going to take the company? Was he going to take the idea for the tech and then use it in a different company? Was he doing? It seemed like he had like an EMP to take it all down. It seemed like more of like he wanted to just take the whole system down, not that he really wanted it for himself. I just don't know anything about it. And especially with the other guy, the first villain guy, the English guy, you know what I'm talking about? Who was, funnily enough, he's a Koba in,
oh really?
In at least in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Toby Kebbell, one of those. I don't know what his story was at all. I have no idea why he was, you know, he's basically just in there for the twist. there's just a lot of this missing. And
why was he in there for the twist?
Because he kind of shows like because when you first see him in the dream, before you know it's a dream, it's like, oh, he's a really bad guy. And then when you see him in real life, he's like a complete coward and just like, oh no, I'm gonna die. Like, why is this happening to
but
me?
He's
and then
not
you wake
there
up
necessarily.
And it's like, he's like, oh, that's not the real villain. Guy Pierce is
but
the real
to me,
villain.
To me, all you're saying is it's not that he's there for the twist, it's that he is a part of. You're just describing how he's a part of the twist. To have a twist, you have to have characters
well,
in the setup.
He doesn't actually have a character himself. Right. What's his I don't remember his name, but what is Toby Kebbell's character? He's in the dream. He's like the bad guy. Like, oh, I'm just going to kill you.
That's
and your
the
wife
point.
Because you're thinking, but he's not the bad guy.
You're being shown that he's not all he's cracked up to be to set up the twist.
That's my point. Is that his entire
you
character
have
to set up
you,
the twist?
Oh my gosh! If you have a twist, you have to set it up and then play it out. So you have to have people there for it. So to say you're just there for the twist is like you have to have. The
name,
twist, which means you have
one,
to show the twist, the
name
characters,
one
the
other
situation.
Aspect of his character.
What do you?
What else is he other than setting up the twist? What else is that character?
Okay, first you have to break down what the twist is. The twist is that
he's not the real villain. It's actually Guy Pierce because Guy Pierce
that Guy
has been
Pierce
implanting
is killing,
his memories. Yes,
the guy
killing
is killing his former people that worked for him.
Yeah,
so that's who he is. He is a former person that worked
that
for him.
That doesn't make a character. Come on.
I'm not. That makes a character. It doesn't make him super fleshed out. I don't think he has to be fleshed out because it is showing that that there's a twist involved. But you're setting up somebody. That is a huge dichotomy to show that, okay, this person was shown to have power, and then to say, wait, you don't look like you're all that now.
Right.
That's all you need to show the twist.
No, I completely agree with the twist. I'm saying that...
But why is that bad? I don't see why that's bad to have somebody to be in the plot, to have a character that helps with the twist.
Because I don't know why anything's happening. I see it happening, but I have no idea why anything's happening. So nothing means anything to me anymore. There's no... Everything is incredibly black and white. Oh, Guy Pearce is bad guy because he leads company and wants to do bad stuff. Okay. Toby Gebbell is just part of the twist. Vin Diesel is just an unfortunate happenstance soldier who just gets sucked into things. Good guy. I mean, everything. There's no, like, I have no idea. Like I said, I don't know anything about Vin Diesel. I don't know anything about Guy Pearce. I don't know anything about any character, really, other than the very obvious emotions that they show off on the end. Guy Pearce wants to kill off all of his things. That's all I know about him. Vin Diesel just wants to be his dream version. We have, honestly, without his dream, we have no idea who or what he wants. He just wants to be away. He just wants to kill Guy Pearce because he's been fucking him over. Okay, great. Like KT, all we know is that she wants to help Vin Diesel. Bionic Legs guy, all we know is that he's an asshole. Like everyone is incredibly one-dimensional.
I can give you that.
The world is one-dimensional, honestly.
That there are certain characters and certain things that are not fleshed out as well as they could have been.
Are there any characters that are fleshed out?
I believe so. I think, okay, well, first let me start with this. Let me say that the main bad guy, Guy Pearce, we are so bad at actually remembering character names.
Honestly, I think it helps. If you also watch this movie and you're listening to us, probably you're thinking of him as Guy Pearce than his real name, right? Than his actor or character name.
Well, okay, so...
Just like you're thinking of Vin Diesel as other than, what is it, something Garrison?
Yeah, I'm so bad with character names. Like every time I watch
good movies, you remember the character's name.
Yeah, I don't know. We have a lot. Yes and no. There's, if you go back and listen to a lot of our episodes, movies we liked, we're like, yeah, that guy. I don't know.
Well, I was thinking like when we talked about Marriage Story. Although that's bad because now I can't remember. But it's been like 6 months since we watched that movie. But when we talked about it, I definitely remember. You know their names.
But I couldn't remember the her name though for some reason. They escaped me. I'm bad with character names. I'm bad with names in general when it comes to like meeting people. You'll tell me your name, I'll forget it in 2 minutes. So whatever. But my point is, yeah, you say that he's bad for being bad. Okay, cool. People want his tech, but it's like, why? Why does, what does he even want to do with it? It doesn't make sense. But to me, what I got from this is he wants to, like, okay, so he can enhance people and help people, and he wants to do that. But he wants to take out everybody else that wants to use it for different reasons. Like his ulterior motive is skewed. So they don't explain that and go into a lot of detail. I understand that hurts it a little bit. Like I agree that it would have been better if they went more into depth.
Motive? Isn't that his main motive? Is that he's getting rid of people?
Well, what I mean is that he might want to help people, and like he's trying to create, you know, enhancements to people and do stuff.
We don't know.
Well, he's doing that to people.
Well, to his special black ops soldiers.
Right. No, but what I'm saying is he has the ability to do all of this, and it's like, what is he going to do with that technology? Is he going to help like the layman, like the regular person?
We have no idea.
Or is he going to just like create an army to himself?
I would assume that he talks once about killing off all his businessmen and then selling Vin Diesel or the nanites or just whatever he's doing in general. So that's the only thing I have to grasp onto as far as
motive. Here's my point is, regardless of what he wants to do with the technology, the way that he's going about it is very clearly wrong. So yes, you don't have a lot of super clear of what exactly his motive is. And does that hurt it? Yeah, sure, that hurts it a little bit. But for me, it was enough to continue the plot of the story and have the interesting part of what's happening to Vin Diesel. To me, did you see the twist coming?
Not
him being bad, because at the beginning I was like, I really hope that this team of people isn't bad, because it seems very cliche. And they were, but the way they did it, I was surprised. I didn't think that the entire thing was going to be a lie from the beginning of the movie, his entire backstory. I was like, whoa, this is interesting. How about you?
So I knew, but for the wrong reason, because I listened way before we decided to do this. I didn't think we were going to do this movie at all. So I listened to a podcast. You know, I've told you about it. It's the How Did This Get Made?
Yeah.
Where they talk about bad movies. And this was the one where they talked about. And so I knew about... I didn't see footage of it.
I don't like
it.
That because then I feel like it's putting in your head of why the movie's bad, and then you're going to watch it and have a preconceived notion.
I still think the concept is great. I'm not saying that necessarily the execution, other than the fact that they're acting, which just feels weird to me. But that's the best part of the movie. The part I knew about is the best part. Is the characters suck, and it's shot very much like a Michael Bay movie, and there are some good aspects that I still want to talk about of this movie, like the fact that this movie's budget was really low, like $45 million for a movie like this. That's low, and a lot of it looks really good. There are some cartoony bits toward the end.
There's a couple, but it still looked really good. I was really very impressed with the shots. A lot of the slow mo did look really cool, even if parts looked a little CGI-ish.
But like all the nanites like flowing back into Vin Diesel usually looked really good, and like I really like the scene where they like create the environment around the Italy in his dream.
It was so Inception-esque. Yeah, it was like, super cool.
That all looks really good. Like this, like some of the stuff where like Vin Diesel's flying down like a superhero on the elevator when it's dropping and they're fighting.
So some of that looked
bad.
I still really liked it.
So, yeah, it's
the way
not
they're
a bad
able
scene.
To like circular, like put the camera like 360 around them, go fast, and then jump into slow mo. I was like, it's still pretty crisp.
No, yeah,
it looked good.
I'm not complaining about it. There was just like a couple quick moments where like somebody would fly really fast and you're like, oh shit, that's a cartoon. Yeah, it's not a real person at all. Like especially the guy with the big arms on the back, you know what I mean, there were a couple times where he was basically he would like jump through like something really quickly and you could tell that it just like completely changed out. There was no actor there.
Yo, I was getting like giddy, like excited when they were doing the scene where they were chasing him, the two enhanced male characters, where the guy with the eyes all around him and could like have cameras every angle, like drones, like super cool concept. The way the guy with bionic legs is like running along walls and like, I don't know. And again, motives are a big deal for stories. I understand that it's not super fleshed out.
Action
but for
means
me,
so much more when you can attach yourself to it.
I felt attached enough because I didn't know the twist. Mm-hmm. I was attached enough to the main character, which I did not think I was going to be, to where the motive of exactly why he's doing this, I got enough of that. Sure, it wasn't as fleshed out as it could be, but I was so focused on, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily good or bad, but I was so focused on the main character and how he was coping with it and the way that he was being manipulated worked for me. Regardless of whether you could have just had him start a different way, like, oh, just put memories in his brain and then have him already on the way to kill this person. Sure, you could have done that, I guess.
Like from a movie perspective, not that fun to look at. I get that. But from the logic and what they're able to do in the movie, makes total sense.
But
that's the best way to do it.
For me, it didn't. Like when I was watching, I was like, well, why didn't they just start him there? And maybe you did. But for me, I didn't, like, it didn't take me out of it. I was like, oh, it makes sense. They would manipulate this guy. It's one of those things that, and there's a lot of movies that we really like that you can go back and go, you know, they could have just done this. And you go, yeah, but this movie was good. And that's how I felt about it. Like, I was entertained enough. The way that he had to cope with it and the way that they actually were able to persuade him was not only fun and entertaining to me, but it made enough sense for me. Like, I don't know. And you can tell me that I'm wrong. That is a terrible movie. I've heard a lot of people saying that it is kind of in that gray area, but I just surprisingly enjoyed it. It felt so much more of like a superhero movie to me, which it is based on a comic book and is. But it wasn't as, what's the word I'm looking for? Cookie cutter, and you might completely disagree with this, cookie cutter cliche.
Concept, no. Execution, yes.
I disagree, man.
Man, acting, it's all very cooker, like people walking in.
I like the weird relationships that they had, like the one main IT guy with Guy Pearce. I don't know if you like that.
All that humor sucked.
I kind of liked
and
it.
And the other guy who's who I love this actor, the other smart guy who comes in halfway through the movie.
He had way too more over-the-top moments.
That guy is hilarious. He is not funny in this movie.
I think he had some good moments, but he had way too many like over the top moments.
But did the comedy really work with you with the first IT guy? He comes in and he's like, wait, 6 inches isn't enough, guys? Come on. And then he goes back in and he's like asking for a prosthetic and then the girl walks in and he's like, oh, never mind. Like clearly implying that he wanted a prosthetic penis. Come on. Like
there was another moment I thought I wrote down that I thought was really funny with that guy specifically.
Honestly, I feel like that IT guy undercuts Guy Pearce because there's times where like the IT guy's like playing on his phone and Guy Pearce is like, hey, stop it. You got to focus on the mission. It's like, how are we supposed to be scared of you as a boss if your IT guy doesn't even give a shit about you? You
when
know
he
what
was
mean?
Talking like, about like scripting the whole thing. He was like, what about doing this? Or what did he say? I don't remember. He was talking about, because obviously they have a whole script that they have to go with. And he was like, you've done enough. I think that I gotta find this. Hold on. Where is this at? Where is this at? Oh, he said, a psycho killer dancing lunatic in a slaughterhouse. I think you've done enough. Like, I'm done hearing your script ideas. You know what I mean? I like that. I like that moment.
It didn't offend me, but at the same time, I didn't laugh from it.
For me, it felt like these like two meshings of like this world where it's like you have these movies where people are writing stuff that are like way over the top and funny. And the second that he started dancing to that song,
yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? It felt like it gave a purpose to that. And I know people that would like talk about, oh, like, let's do a film about this, or what if there was a movie about this, and they have this like funny, silly concept, but it kind of works, and you're like, what are you talking about? And that's kind of what it felt like. I don't know. It worked. There were moments like that for me that worked, but I guess not for you. So
it's just, I mean, it's just kind of like a movie cliche, you know, having a villain who's like, you know, kind of weirdly in the situation he's in, he's weirdly happy and giddy, but he also does terrible things. I've seen it a bunch of times. Like, they're just acknowledging that they took that and put it in the movie because it's a film cliche.
It worked for me more than it's worked in other movies. At least this guy. Like I said, the other guy who was supposed to be the funny IT guy, I don't necessarily think they needed two of them, especially because the way that they had the other guy, it was a little over the top.
It started like 45 minutes in the movie, there's all of a sudden there was jokes. And I thought that was weird, right? Like, there were no jokes for the beginning, which I'm not saying there had to be, but all of a sudden it was like at the midway point where it felt like there was a bit of a lull in the movie. It was like some producer came in and said, all right, minute 46 through 57 is not that great. Can we throw in like three jokes?
I would feel that if it was characters that were being serious the whole time, then making jokes. I appreciate that they at least stick to the characters were who they were, because that was when we were introduced to those characters, then they were making jokes.
Yeah, like within the characters. So it didn't throw me off as fine.
Like, oh, we're being funny now? Like, it made sense.
Yeah, it's
for
not like Guy Pearce started quipping. That would have been really bad.
Right. Well, even his remarks back to his IT guy were in his own character, but were kind of funny just because he was shutting him down. You know what I mean?
I guess, yeah, I don't know. It's just this. Just a very. I mean, it's not terrible. Like, I'm not like saying like you liking it is all. Like, I'm like, oh my god, how did you like this? It's just very bland, unfortunately. And while I was there were some action scenes where I was like, this is kind of cool. I like what I'm seeing visually. I was not attached. I did not care about Vin Diesel. I don't even know who Vin Diesel is. Like, his dream and who he thinks he is all a lie. He could have been a terrible person.
That's
and then
kinda
I'm kind of like,
I,
okay, maybe he should be fucked over.
That's
kind
of why I like it, because as opposed to Captain Marvel, where she loses her memory and we have no idea who she is and we're supposed to care, mm-hmm. but they didn't really give us a lot of reasons to care because yeah. she wasn't like super likable or this and that, whatever. For him, it was almost like we were living through it with him. So I felt for him because of what he was being shown, regardless of whether we know exactly what happened or not. We're being shown what he's being shown. And then he goes back to his wife, who's not his actual wife,
right.
and we can see that he's a relatable character through what he thinks was going on, but it's the way of him trying to, which he didn't actually discover what he was going on and who he actually was, but of him trying to do that or cope with the fact that he doesn't know what's going on, I feel like they did it a lot more interesting than, again, my other prime example is Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. where even when she found out, she just didn't have any character development whatsoever, where at least he had some character development throughout this movie.
Oh, I mean, I guess if you had to narrow down Vin Diesel, what's his arc? He starts out, you know, on a revenge mission, and then he ends on a revenge mission. And so does he learn anything? Like, does he grow as a character in this, Vin Diesel?
Yeah, you definitely grow as a character if you learn that everything that you believed is not true. You know what I mean? Like the way that you show but that you have to cope with
he
that.
He coped with that the same way he did before he learned. There were people who wronged him. He killed them. This guy wronged him. When he found out all of his memories were fake, he kills him. And then he drives off into the sunset with the lady. Well, I mean, I'm not... Again, I'm just thinking. I'm trying to figure out. If you can point it out, I will happily agree with it.
No,
but what is the arc?
I think it is definitely a little more black and white. But I think, for example, it kind of sets up the premise of wanting to know who he is because he's been through all this stuff, that you're rooting for him, then hoping that you get more to figure out who he is.
Yeah, sure. That can explain why the audience might be engaged with the character, but it's not the same thing as having an arc. You know what I mean?
He definitely has an arc.
The development isn't as... I see the beginning, but the end is the same, so it's just a flat... There's no growth.
Switching your objective I would consider an arc if you're doing it for the right reasons and finding out more about your surroundings and what's going on. Switching your like switching the objective, whether it's to kill one person and then kill another person.
But he's doing it for the same reasons.
What do you mean he's doing it for the same reasons?
Guys in his dream fucked him over. He kills him. Guy Pierce fucked him over. He kills him.
Right.
It's the same reason, basically.
I mean, if you're going to dumb it down to like that basic, because like a lot of, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, like there's a lot of action movies that if you're being wronged, it's how you're being wronged. What are you doing? He's being manipulated. The other people killed his, what he thought was wife.
Yeah. These
people
are manipulating him. The beginning is better than the motivation in the end. I mean, Guy Pierce gets him to kill other people and manipulates them.
You think it's better that the motivation is you killed the girlfriend or the wife?
You killing my wife and me and then me coming back from the debt and killing you, it feels is a much more emotional, strong connection to kill that person than you manipulating to kill bad guys?
Here is the point of why it's worse is because not only did that happen, but he had to make him relive the fact that he killed his wife multiple times. So it's almost like in that scenario, Guy Pierce was the one doing it. But on top of that, he forced him to go kill tens of innocent people on top of the fact that you forced me to rewatch my wife dying. That is so much worse to me.
But from Vin Diesel's perspective, he never rewatched it.
Well, no, but once he found out.
Memory wipe, so.
Because it's once he found out, that was his motivation. He says, you made me relive this over and over and over. That's messed up.
Yeah, no,
even
I'm
if you don't know it
I'm
personally.
I'm not disagreeing, but I still think that the actual act of having your wife and yourself killed is still stronger than the having to relive it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, again, it's your motivation changes when you learn more. So it's not.
But what did he learn? What did
no,
he learn?
No, learn about his situation. Learn that what he was actually doing to him, that he made him kill innocent people, that he made him relive, that his wife was being murdered over and over. He learned all of that. That's what I'm saying. Learning those facts.
So
switched his motivation.
I think let's compare this to like Extraction. Because in that movie we have kind of a similar aspect as far as like Chris Hemsworth is a contract killer and he's like kind of suicidal, he's doing all this stuff, he's lived a very like self-involved life, you know, mm-hmm. and he's not happy with it, and then he finds a way to help this one kid and he gives his life for that, and that's his arc, right? Like he finds something worth living in helping someone else.
Yep.
That's like, it's not a very advanced arc, but it's there. And this, where's that, you know, you see what I'm saying? There's no similar change, human growth.
He
just changes as far as like, oh, now I'm hunting this new guy, but I'm doing it the same way, and I'm doing it for the largely the same reasons. I hate this guy.
I disagree.
He's done me something wrong. I hate this man because he's done me something wrong, therefore I'm killing him.
But there's a lot more. That is okay, so you're saying the character arc was in
Extraction
was that it was because he was helping other people.
Yep.
Whereas, and you can dive into helping other people. That is a broad.
Yeah.
That is broad, but you can dive into why he feels that way in that movie.
Yeah.
All you're doing is diving into the broad, I'm doing this because he wronged me. Why did he wrong me? What did he do? And how can I fix that? Are very, very key points that you have to dive into to understand that it's not, you can't just say he wronged me and that's your motivation. It gets a lot deeper than that.
It's not motivation. I'm talking about like growth as a character. Does he change? I don't see
a change.
But
you're saying he's doing it for the same reasons. And I disagree because the reasons why he's doing it, mm-hmm. the motivation behind it, is the point that you have to dig into, or else you're just going to say it's the same thing when it's like it's not. You're not actually like breaking it down. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but I'm saying that his motivation as a character is not the same thing as him changing as a character. Saying like
he's breaking free
another guy based on revenge,
and it's not just revenge. At the same time, it's also he's also breaking free of his own bondage because this guy is controlling
him. Yeah, sure.
So there's that aspect to it too. It's different. It might not be a revenge story. It is definitely a revenge story. There's mm-hmm. that to it, and maybe that's just not as interesting to you, or maybe to a lot of people. I agree that if you don't do a revenge story the right way, that it can just fall flat. It's just, oh, well, you're doing this because they did this to you. There's not a lot deeper to it. I think there adds a little more depth. Again, this movie isn't perfect. I really enjoyed it. I know there's flaws with it. Something I want to say before we do wrap up, though.
Yep.
This movie, at least a lot, there's a good part of this movie that is Iron Man 3 all over again.
Yeah.
It was weird how much it reminded me of it, because Guy Pearce pretends to be a good guy who owns a tech company.
How often has Guy Pearce done this role?
Hold on, okay.
These two movies aren't the only ones.
Let me list all these. Guy Pearce is a tech guy who you think is good.
Yep.
Turns out to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
The product that he is developing creates a orange glow inside of people.
Yep. And it helps. It was the same thing. They were helping wounded soldiers.
They're helping wounded people. And then, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. But the entire premise of his character is the Iron Man 3 character.
You just copy and paste and replace
all over again,
except with slightly less depth, because you know more about Guy Pearce in Iron Man 3 than you do about him in this movie.
So you wanted a quick old flashback of him being left on a roof again in this one?
At least you have a reason why he hates the main character, or why, you know, or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, he doesn't necessarily hate the main character in this one. He's just using him as a weapon.
I mean, it's enough for Vin Diesel to hate him, so I feel like that's got to be somewhat mutual.
I would hate somebody if they're manipulating me and making me kill people
and
relive
like
my wife's death.
You have strong feelings about them to use them like that.
That is the reason they hate each other, and it makes sense. So I just answered those two things, and sure, it could go a little more in depth, but when you had that with, I felt for why the guy was actually, why Vin Diesel was going after these people at the beginning, is because, he killed his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the action scene in the tunnel wasn't cool.
Yeah, there were cool aspects.
They had really cool action
scenes.
The
movie fucking loves throwing some kind of powder and with a color in the air. It made no sense.
I was also like, they crashed a truck and there's flour everywhere. I was like, I see what you're doing here. You're trying to do this for visuals. I'll let it slide because it looked cool at least. So I was like, whatever.
There would not just be mounds of flour
everywhere. That's what I was
going to
say. I was like, are they not in bags? I wrote that down. I said, are there no bag shreddings anywhere? There's a bag. He takes a bag of flour and throws it at a guy.
But you don't see like a bunch of shreddings of brown paper bags.
So you just keep loose flour in the back of trucks, apparently.
This movie is, like I said, it's very Michael Bay. It's very much like showing, they want to show specific action scenes. And so they very loosely write something that kind of makes sense to get them there, but it doesn't seem like they really care about making the story really make sense all that much. They're just trying to get from point A to point B, and they're trying to make it fun and visual as much as they can. I just wish, with a concept this cool, I wish they had done more with it.
I think they could have done more with it. I disagree with you that it's just another Michael Bay, all visuals, we're just making this fun thing. I felt that there was more depth to this movie than some of the other movies that I've gone into, just thinking this is just going to be an action silly movie.
Yep.
And I guess you didn't feel... I'm really trying, and I wish we had more time to really sit and break it down, because I want to go into into detail about like each character, but I know we don't have a lot of time to do that.
Bless our part two.
But because I really do want to try to figure out why I like this movie more, and why it worked for me more than you and a lot of other people. I think there were other people out there that did enjoy it.
Yeah, so he's got like, what, a 30% around tomatoes or something like that? I'm honestly just guessing. I haven't actually looked. It can't be good.
I think it was 30% last time I looked.
Oh, really? Shit, did I call that? That's our mainly thing. I gotta cut this one short. Wow, 30% exactly. Holy shit.
We got busy schedules, so this episode's gonna be a little short.
Yeah.
Comparatively. It's been over an hour,
yeah,
but
it's like an hour and 15 minutes still, but fuck it.
For us, that's short. You've been me,
I've been you. Movies Brother, that's us. Tyler, Instagram.
Follow us at That's Movies Brother on Instagram, on YouTube. We are on here. So if you're listening to this on audio, go check us out on YouTube. And if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, give us a review. That would be fantastic. It helps us out a lot. And we will see you guys next week.